Jesus, we do praise you and thank you. We do receive everything that you've provided for us. We receive the fullness of your healing. We receive the fullness of every promise because you paid a high price for all of it. We don't take it for granted. We walk in your grace and mercy. And we want that grace and mercy to be evident and to be shown and demonstrated through our lives, that others see it and are drawn towards you. Jesus, we make the determination this morning, as we sit here as a body, we make the determination to take our mind off of our problems, our worries, our concerns, and our anxieties. We make the determination to be open to receive all that you have for us through your word and through you, Holy Spirit. For we are ready to receive. We are looking squarely to you. We praise you and thank you. You be glorified. It's in your name, Jesus. Your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated this morning. You know, one of the things, when we started City on the Hill, we called it a teaching center because we wanted it to be a teaching center. You know, to me, the Word of God, passionate, excited, always excited about the Word of God. And so Luella and Donna were talking about how we could have something that we could give to guests when they come in for first-time visitors. And they came up with a really good idea that we would have these little books that have our logo on it, and it's just notebooks. I know Mark takes copious amounts of notes. I used to, for years and years, when I would go to a church in Lima, I had this book with me all the time because I always wanted, anytime I'm sitting, listening to someone teach, I want to take notes so I don't forget. So I've had that for years. So I love the fact that we had these to give to guests. But then Donna said, you know what? That's a great thing to give to first-time visitors. But the people that are here all the time, this is a teaching center. We should be giving them the access to it as well. So when church is over, we've got a box. Don ordered a whole bunch of these. So everybody come up, get one yourself. They really are very cool. So come up and get one after church. This is part of the ministry of who we are. I want us to focus on the Word, be passionate for the Word, and remember the Word. And I can tell you, I go back. I actually have several notebooks I took out of that because I have probably four or five notebooks of just notes I've taken over the years from listening to people teach. So those are invaluable to me. Take notes, not just here. Anytime you hear someone teaching the Word, take notes. Write those things down because the Holy Spirit shows you things. And when he shows you to them, show him you appreciate it by writing those things down so you can remember them later. Put it in writing. Another thing about, I wish that, is Ed and Luann's not here today? They're out of town. Okay. Starting this Tuesday, and I'm excited about this because this is a teaching center. That's why I was excited when Ed used this facility a year ago. Well, Ed Zippe and his wife, Luann, are starting a healing, School of Healing, which they'll be doing twice a month. Starts this Tuesday. Thank you. It's first and third Tuesday of every month. We'll remind you. But the first one is this Tuesday, 6:30 until 8 o'clock. Again, that's just part of the teaching and the ministry that goes forth. We also have, we just got up our Facebook. I don't know why that came out hard. We just got up our Facebook page. So go to City on a Hill. That's just City on a Hill Teaching Center. City on a Hill Teaching Center and like us on that page. We have... Yeah, the profile picture is a blazing cross. Is there other City on a Hill things? Oh, is there? All right. So find us there and like us. We have spiritual axioms that you see here. We have those. There's devotionals that are up there all the time. Sound bites, things that come from the service. So like that, and that's just another resource for you guys to use. Took care of all that. Two other things. Ah, birthdays. Yeah, that's right. So, Kathy, you've got a birthday as of yesterday. Happy birthday. And this Tuesday, Mia has a birthday. What are you, 25, 26 years old this coming birthday? Nine years old. So we're going to pray for both of them. Lord, we just lift up Kathy. I thank you and I praise you for what you've called Kathy to be, the creation you've made in Kathy. And I thank you, Lord, how you've used her and how you continue to use her. I thank you for the things that you do through her, not just in the ministry in Haiti, but how you use her here with her husband, as wife, as grandmother. Just in every way that you use her, people see you through her. So we lift her up, we rejoice in her, and we speak the fullness of your blessing over her, that she walks in the favor, she walks in all the blessings. She doesn't miss one of the blessings you have for her in the year to come, that it's the best year of her entire life. We thank you and praise you for that. We lift up Mia. I thank you and I praise you for the precious precious heart that you've created in Mia. I thank you for the joy that she brings to all that she's around, her family certainly, to Donna and I. I thank you and I praise you for that. And as she just celebrates her birthday, we just speak that that day is a day of joy for her. But we speak health and we speak blessing, everything that she grows in you marvelously this coming year. We praise you and thank you for that. Jesus, you be glorified in these two people, for we glorify you in the creation that you've made in these two people that you have shared with us. So we thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, there's one other thing. Oh, yeah, Kathy. Kathy, I was going to have Kathy come up because, Kathy, welcome back from Haiti. Come on, applause like you really mean it. They're doing a great work. Let's just sit. So she was down, as you know, we prayed for her before she left. So just give us a little taste of what took place while you were in Haiti. The ministry is called Harvesting for Haiti.
Well, we met with our guys there, and they showed us the farms, which are miraculous, considering all of the challenges that they've been through this year, weather and other things. They have overcome all of it with God's help. I have to say, one of the revelations that I had when I was down there for the first time, and I've been there several times, I realized how when you're in Haiti, everything is out of your control, almost everything. And here, we can take control of almost anything if we want to. But when you're in Haiti, you depend totally on God to get you through every minute. And God came through for us in every minute. The person from our foundation, Lynn Camper, who's come here as a visit and had this book with her on the trip, taking notes and prayers, she and I met every morning on the porch and in prayer together for at least a half an hour to 45 minutes in the morning.
Awesome.
And so much was going on there that we needed to be covered, and God covered us every single moment that we were there. Bill had told me that last Sunday you prayed for weather, and Lynn and I were out on the porch. We had so many things that we needed to accomplish and wanted to come together that Sunday, and the weather was looming. The clouds were black. We knew that really big things were coming that could come, and it would have just totally ruined everything that we had planned. We wouldn't have even been able to see our guys at the end of the day or during the day, which would have broken our hearts. And as we were praying and as we were finished, and it would have been correlated to the time that you had that prayer, the sun came up.
Amen.
It stayed and remained all day.
That's awesome.
All of our plans could be fulfilled. We had to leave early because we were going to have to leave early on Sunday because there were demonstrations all weekend on the roads, closing the roads to go from Port-au-Prince to Lake High. And we went early, and there were no demonstrations. So God answered every prayer.
Amen.
And one of the things that we went down for, we knew that there had been many, many discouragements for these guys down there that were totally out of their control, nothing that they had done. And so we wanted to be encouragers to go down. But more than that, God gave us so much more than encouragement for these men. He brought with us Lynn, who was an HR director for 30 years at the Andersons, and she was able to give a phenomenal brainstorming session that just opened their eyes. They were totally in participation, and new ideas came on the forefront that they hadn't thought about while they were there. And then another person that came from Kansas, she came because she's been there for 11 years, has many friends there, and she wanted just to join us to see her friends. And it turns out that they needed her help in a huge way as she was a bank, head of the bank loan officer in Kansas, and she could help them, show them how they need to be, what they need to do to become self-sustaining. And it was as if the light bulb just went on in their faces and eyes. And God chose those people to come with us on that trip for a very specific reason. So I just want to thank Todd so much for his messages, because they kept ringing in my ears as I was there. All the things that he tells you that you have to depend on God, depend on him. It's hard for us to do that here. It yeah, really is.
That's true.
We can do what we want to
absolutely
here. But I just kept hearing it. We kept praying all the time, and God kept answering prayers. And these men, that's how they live their life. They only live if God moves them to do something.
Thank
that's
Jesus.
Exactly how they live their life. And to be able to be part of that and to be part of that realization, it was awesome. I've never had such a trip as that.
That's awesome. Before you hand that back to me, for those who don't know, just give us an overview of what they actually do, what the ministry is.
The ministry there is, it started by a young man who's been here several times. And he was told by a Haitian man, he was told by God that he was to do something important in agriculture. Agriculture has been the foundation of Haiti for forever, ever since it started. And it has lost its agricultural importance. And his whole philosophy was, we want to become self-sustaining on our own. Charity does not end poverty. Opportunity
amen
will.
Yeah.
So he wanted to start something down there. He had an idea of how to do it, how to go about it. And he asked me if I would be the United States funding organization to start, to give them a start and a boost so that they could get going. And that's basically what they have done. They have started farms down there. They have grown plenty. The yields have been great. The farmers down there are seeing the new ways that they are doing things. And the men that he has with him are all graduates from college in agronomy and one in accounting. So, and Adi has his master's in environmental science. So this is something that has been started by the Haitians. It is all totally their planning. We don't do the planning. We kind of act as a bank, and they have their ideas. Can we afford to do that for them? Yes, we can, or no, we can't. So basically, that is their mission, is to help to provide food that right now Haiti is in famine because of the drought last year, and to provide the food, but more than that, to show the people that they can do it on their own and
amen
become self-sustaining.
Amen. We support Harvesting for Haiti. We have some of Kathy's cards on the back, which you should bring us some more, by the way. If you want to find out more information, obviously talk to Kathy, but keep her lifted up in prayer, and keep all of those in Haiti lifted up in prayer as well. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for what you've already done there. And we thank you in advance, even not yet seeing what's going to come, but we praise you for it, because we know you are impacting and changing lives. Hearts and lives are being turned to you. Bondages are being broken. Holds that have been for generations are being broken. And we praise you and thank you for that as you have your way. We give strength to all of those men and women who are there and are doing the work and are being faithful and are standing and trusting you. We lift them up with our prayers and strengthen them. And we praise you and thank you for all of it. We give you the glory in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing with us. Okay, so in the last month, one of the main themes we've been looking at over this last month is the thought process that our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price, purchased with the high cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. So at salvation, we became a new wine in Jesus. And Jesus has developed that new wine of us into a quality wine for him, so that now we can follow the example of Paul. And we can live our lives, not to self, but we can live our lives in service to Jesus. We can live our lives as drink offerings poured out to the glory of Jesus. Now, there's many ways that we can live our lives in service to Jesus, a lot of ways. But because Ed and Luann are starting the School of Healing coming up this Tuesday, I thought this would be a good time for us, and it ties into exactly the word that God gave us through Diane. I thought this would be a good time for us to focus on serving Jesus as we help others, as we help those around us receive their healing, healing that is theirs in Jesus' name. And let's face it, every single one of us knows people in our lives that are struggling in areas of health, that need to see deliverance in the areas of health. We all know these people. We've got people in our family, people in our circles. We all know people. But the question is, why don't we take more opportunities to share with those people what the Word promises and what the Word says about healing? Why don't we take the opportunities to share this word with them? Why don't we take the opportunities to pray with them for their healing? Why don't we take advantage of those opportunities? I'm not just talking about saying, oh, well, I will pray for you. No, I mean when you hear them say that they have an issue, right then, praying out loud for them and speaking what His Word says over their life, speaking it in faith, speaking it so they can hear it. You know, people want to hear the truth of Jesus Christ, even those who don't know Him. You know, every single person is a creation of His. And so there is a spiritual DNA, for lack of a better example, there's a spiritual DNA that they have. And in that spiritual DNA, they know that there is promises in this Word. They know that healing is true. And they want you, they want someone to come and tell them, give them permission to believe that the Word is true. They want someone to come and tell them what the Word is and to pray for them so that they can walk in and receive that healing that is theirs, that Jesus Christ has already provided for them. You know, Ed and I just went and prayed for someone a week ago. You could see the zeal for them to receive. Tom and I went and prayed for someone a few weeks ago. Dave Carr and I don't know how many people Dave Carr and I have gone to pray for. And every time you pray for somebody, you can see it in their eyes. They want someone to share that word with them. They want to look in someone's eyes and see that somebody believes that the word is true and that they can receive. So why is it that we don't take advantage of those opportunities more often to speak the word concerning healing and to pray for them for healing? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but consider this. Each day, we should be advancing the kingdom of God as we serve Him. Every day, our heart should be to advance the kingdom of God. But understand this, there is an enemy of your soul, and Satan does not want you to in any way be involved in the battle that he is waging against this world and against the health of people. He does not want you involved because he knows he's already been defeated by Jesus. And he knows that you can enforce that defeat with the power and the authority that you have in Jesus' name. Don't look surprised about that. We should know that. He knows he's defeated, and he knows you've got the authority to enforce that defeat. He doesn't want you involved. So how is it that Satan keeps you from entering into that battle that he's waging against this world? There's a military term called interdiction. Anybody ever heard of that? I knew that, Ed, you would raise your hand. Interdiction. Interdiction is defined as this. It is the act of delaying. It's the act of disrupting or destroying the enemy's supplies or forces before they ever get to the battlefield. Interdiction is making sure that the forces of the adversary are defeated before they ever get or delayed or never arrive to the battlefield. This is the tactic that Satan employs. This is the tactic of interdiction. He is keeping us from entering that battle. How does he keep us from entering into that battle? His interdiction for us is to cause us to be uncertain. Because if we're uncertain, we will not advance. If we're uncertain about the Word of God, we will not advance in that Word. This is how Satan interdicts in us to keep us from entering that battle battlefield that he knows he's already lost. If he can keep you out of that battlefield, he can put other people in misery and destroy their lives. But we, what he will do to keep us from getting to that battle, he causes us as individuals to struggle in the area of healing ourselves. Because if we struggle to receive healing in our lives, that causes us to be uncertain ourselves about the promises of the Word of God. And if we're uncertain about the Word of God, we're not likely. What he does then is he has taken from us, he has stolen our confidence to be able to stand on the Word of God and pray for others because of our uncertainty. This is how Satan uses the strategy of interdiction against us. Does that make sense? This is what I want to do today. I want to stir the zeal within each one of us to receive the healing that we have in Jesus. But I also want to stir the zeal within us to share the Word and what the Word says about healing with others. I want to stir the zeal within us to pray for other people. Not walking to our homes and saying, I'll pray for you later, but praying for them so that they can hear your words of faith. As they hear those words of faith, they can then receive those words of faith. Listen, there's a lot of reasons, and if you're struggling in some area in health yourself, this is part of what the enemy's plan is. But listen, I can pray for someone to be healed. Listen to this. I can pray for someone to be healed even when I'm not experiencing healing myself. Because I know the Word of God is true. Regardless of what my body says, or regardless of what the appearances are, or the circumstances say. Know the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. If you know the authority that you have in Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter what your past experience has been. You can avoid Satan's strategy of interdiction against you. You can avoid it as you stand on the Word. You can then advance the kingdom of God, speaking the Word of God in faith and praying with authority, knowing the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen? A couple of weeks ago, I shared a story that Donna had told me. She was listening to a national Christian radio program. It wasn't on Yes FM. It wasn't on Proclaim FM. But she was listening to this national radio program, and the person who called into the program had asked the host if the host would pray for him to be healed. And this is how the host prayed. The host prayed and said, God, I ask you, would you consider healing this man? They were defeated. They were defeated by Satan's strategy of interdiction before they started. They never got to the battlefield because of their uncertainty of the Word of God. They didn't know the Word of God. That host didn't understand the authority that he had in Jesus' name. The Word of God is clear. There's not a question of certainty or not. The Word of God is clear about what his will is for healing. The Word is clear. It's unequivocally clear in the Word. Listen to this. This is Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 8, 2 and 3. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. We never have to have a question about what the will of God is concerning healing. Jesus told us, I am willing. And the next thing he did is he healed the man. This shows us the heart of Jesus Christ. From his own voice, Jesus makes clear what his will is concerning healing. His will is that you're healed. And his will is that those you pray for to be healed will be healed also. That is his will. You have to know that with certainty. Otherwise, Satan will disrupt you from ever entering that battlefield, that battle that he's waging against people's health and against their lives. He will keep you from entering that battle. Know your authority in Jesus Christ. And know this with certainty. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the work of healing is complete. It was finished at the cross. Familiar verse, but we need to hear it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Sin no longer has a hold over you. And since sin no longer has a hold over you, sickness no longer has a hold over you. You were healed, past tense. It's done. The work of healing is a completed work. It's done in the spiritual realm. I may not see it right now in my physical realm, but it is done in the spiritual realm. It's done and finished in the spiritual realm, waiting for me to lay hold of it, possess it, and bring it from the spiritual realm to this natural realm, where the greater realities of the spiritual realm, and understand this, you can't see the spiritual realm realities, but those realities are greater than what you see. The realities of the spiritual realm are more real than this. It's more real than Al. It's more real than any. It's more real. All of this is going to pass away. But the spiritual things, those things are forever. So the greater realities of the spiritual realm, when we lay hold of them and bring them to this realm, those greater realities of the spiritual realm then displace the lesser realities, and they are lesser realities of this natural world. If I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and I believe it's finished, if I believe in this finished work of Jesus Christ, then I can pray for someone to be healed, and I can pray with authority, even if I'm not experiencing it myself at that moment. In fact, I would say this to you. When I'm struggling with healing, if I'm struggling to receive healing in my life, when I stand on the Word of God for someone else, often that is the exact moment that my body begins to submit to the Word and receive healing myself. If you know the Word and you believe it's a finished work and you know the Word, if you know the Word and you believe that it's done, it doesn't matter what you're experiencing, you can still pray for others to be healed. If I stop praying for healing for people, every Monday through Friday, I've got people that are calling the prayer closet all the time looking for healing. If I stop praying for people to be healed because I was struggling in healing in some area, there'd be a lot of times that, hey, you know what, you guys are on your own. Pray amongst yourselves because I can't. No, I know what the promises are. Regardless of what I'm experiencing, I know the promises. And I've seen him heal. I've seen him heal others, and I've certainly seen him heal me time and time again. And I'll continue to stand on the Word. But while I'm standing, I will pray for others. And that often is that linchpin which releases the healing to take place within me as well. Don't fail to pray for someone else or speak his word about healing because you're not experiencing it. Because what you're doing is you are then falling prey. You're yielding to Satan's strategy of interdiction to keep you from the battlefield. Because he knows that he's already defeated. He knows you have the authority to enforce his defeat. Advance. Always advance. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel, advance. This is what we're called to do as his servants. Do you guys believe that Jesus has provided healing for us by his blood? Do you believe that the word is true regardless of what you see? You're not real excited about that, but you believe it. Do you believe that you have the authority in Jesus Christ? You have his authority? Then get in the battle. Advance the kingdom of God. When you see people, tomorrow if you see someone that and they're complaining about a toothache or a headache or whatever, even if it's something small, pray for them. Pray for them and let them see the power of prayer, because when they see the power of prayer, when they know it, because they heard you pray for them, and they know that their symptoms are gone later in the day, they're going to know why that happened. It changes them, but it changes you as well. Jesus has done his part already. He did his part with the resurrection victory that he provided for us. Now it's up to you and I. We have to do our part. And our part is to speak the word regarding healing to others, to speak it boldly and speak it in faith. And we are to pray and pray in the authority of Jesus' name for others. When Jesus sent out his 70 disciples to go before him, when he sent them out, he sent them out empowered with his authority. And he sent them out with the authority to heal. This is what it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke 9:10. This is Jesus. and heal the sick there. He's telling them, heal, you heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. They were to heal. They were to heal. Not Jesus. They had the authority in Jesus, but they were to heal. You and I are his disciples today. We are the ones who are supposed to heal. We're to heal others in the authority that we have in Jesus' name. This is what's set before us. Remember, what is the rhetorical question? What is the main theme that the Holy Spirit gave us that I shared with you week number one of this year? And I said, I prayed about it, and this is the theme that the Holy Spirit gave us. Do you remember it, Ed? Pretty close. Duty is ours, yes. The duty is ours. The results are His. The duty belongs to us, but the results are His. Our duty in this, our duty is to speak the word in faith and to pray in authority. That's our duty. The results, those are His. We do our duty, and He will take care of the results. He will bring the results. The reason more people aren't praying for others to be healed, the reason that more people don't do that is because so many times we struggle with uncertainty ourselves. We're not sure that we can believe for healing in our own lives. And because we struggle with that area, that hinders us from being able to pray with others. We need to know what the word is and what the promises are for us. See, Satan causes doubt within us. And when he causes doubt within us, that closes off, that cuts us off from the supply line of faith. Determine that you are going to believe the promises of the Word of God. Determine to believe the Word regardless of what you see and regardless of what your body says. Determine to believe that the Word is true. And then stand on the Word. Because as you stand on the Word, the more you stand on the Word and the longer you stand on the Word, the result is always going to be that the circumstances which are contrary to the Word, you stand on the Word and the circumstances will always line up with the promises of the Word of God. And what happens when that takes place? Then you can start to develop your own personal testimony on healing. When you believe and you receive, you can develop your own personal testimony on healing. What is it that brings other people to receive, to believe and to receive in all areas of their life, including healing? What is it that brings them to the place of believing and then receiving? This is Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. Makes it really clear for us. Revelation 12, 11. Revelation should be the easy book for us to find. That shouldn't take us long. And they overcame him by, this is the enemy, they overcame the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is how people overcome. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Overcome those spiritual battles of healing. Overcome spiritual battles, healing by healing, even in the small ones. You know, when Tom and I were praying, he said something when we went to pray for someone. I thought, well, that was really cool. Because even these small things help us develop. Tom said that he used to get a lot of heartburn, whatever it was, and so he was taking a lot of Tums. And he realized one day, stop taking Tums. Believe Jesus for my healing. And he stopped taking the Tums and hasn't needed them ever since, even though he was relying upon those being there. I've been there. I understand that. How many times have you had a headache? And the easiest thing to do is to go to the medicine cabinet and get some aspirin and make it go away. Now, these are the little battles that we should be standing on the Word of God and speaking to our body and making our body submit to the Word of God. And so the pain, the discomfort, whatever it is, the symptoms then depart. Because every time that we do that, we build up our faith. But then we also develop our testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony that helps bring people to that place of believing so that they can believe and that they can receive healing for themselves. We need to develop our own testimony. I've told you guys over the 4 years, you've heard a lot of my testimonies on healing. I've been healed from asthma that I've had my entire life, healed, delivered. Don't take any medication at all. I'd be taking medication my whole life. I took medication. I can't even tell you how much medication I took every single day of my life. And I used the emergency inhaler probably on average 3 times a day, my entire life. Not for the last 10 years. I haven't taken any medicine at all. He's healed me. He's delivered me. Yes, thank you, Jesus. He's healed me from knee problems, from shoulder problems, from a kidney stone, from a hair. I mean, he's healed me from so many things. But this is the thing. We need to keep developing that testimonies, our testimony on healing. Because we live in a fallen world. There's going to be attacks that come against us. We need to have that testimony always strong. Let me give you an example that just recently happened to me. Back in the spring, I started to get some symptoms. These symptoms were kind of alarming. And I knew what the doctors would say about the symptoms. And I knew that it was not a good thing. It caused a lot of fear. And so I stood on the Word, I spoke to my body, and commanded my body to line up with the Word and for the symptoms to cease. And here's what happened. The symptoms would go for a day or two. Thank you, Jesus! And then they'd come back for like 3, 4, 5 days. And I'd stand and I'd speak again, and they'd go away for 2 or 3 days. Thank you, Jesus! And then they'd come back 3, 4, 5 days in a row. So I kept doing this back and forth, back and forth. And I'd stand. And I said to Donna, I'm not going to the doctors. You know, I'm not stopping until I receive healing. And I was fine. It didn't matter what the symptoms were. I was fine. I wasn't worried at all. And then I'm just watching TV. I'm watching ESPN. ESPN showing a baseball special. They're airing something from 2 baseball players from when I was growing up. So I'm just watching this. I'm fine in my faith. I'm just watching baseball, a documentary on baseball. And this one baseball player starts talking about these symptoms that he had, and they're my symptoms. And then he goes through all of these things that are horrible and how it affected his life forever. I'm sitting watching baseball trying to be relaxed, and all of a sudden this fear rushes back. And I thought, maybe I should go see a doctor. So I battled with that, wrestled for a few days, and I thought, no, I'm not going to go see a doctor. And I'm making this a really long story quick. There was a day that the Holy Spirit showed me to say something, to speak somebody to something. And you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit tells you to speak something, and you are putting yourself out there, because you look really silly if it's not accurate. But I heard him say it, I knew he told me what to say, I said it, and I could see that it was accurate. It was clearly accurate. That was awesome, thank you, Jesus. You know, you love those times. And then the very next day, I was on the air. I was praying for someone on the prayer closet. And as I was reading the prayer request, the Holy Spirit just told me to say something. I just have a prayer request of a few lines. But the Holy Spirit told me to speak something specific about what was going on in their life. It had nothing to do with what was there. But I spoke it boldly. And, you know, you do that sometimes. And on the radio, you never know. Well, the next day, I got an email from that person. And they said, hey, tell Todd thank you, because he had no idea. But that was exactly what I was battling. I needed to hear that. And, you know, so I got that, and I thought, Jesus, that's awesome. 2 days in a row, you've shown me I'll speak something boldly, and you've shown me that, you know, I'm hearing you. That's awesome. That's exciting. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, why will you believe and speak boldly when I tell you to speak to someone else, but you won't believe me when I tell you not to worry about those symptoms? And I thought, yeah, I've been battling this for 3 months, going back and forth. I just need to put this to rest. And so the next day, I was praying about it, and I thought, you know what? I know that I'm fine. Jesus, what do you want me to do? And this is what the Holy Spirit, I was in the shower. I get so much revelation in the shower. If you ever need revelation, call. You can come over and borrow our shower, because that's where revelation happens. So I was taking a shower, and I was just, Jesus, what do you need me to do? And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, you need to make, your flesh is not submitting. You need to make your flesh submit. Because right now, you're submitting to the flesh. You're submitting to the symptoms. There's 3 parts of who you are, and you're letting the least part, the only part that is not eternal, you're letting the least part lead you. You lead in my word. You make the flesh submit to you. And so I stood there, and I spoke to my body, and I said, you will submit, because I will not submit to you. I will not go to the doctors, and I will not submit to you at all. I will continue to stand, and nothing is going to break me. I will not yield. So you will. And I thought, you know, I'm going to make it yield. I'm going to fast for like 3 days. And so I looked at my calendar, and because of schedules, it was like a week until I'd ever have like 3 days in a row that I could actually do this. So I planned it out. You know what? The moment that I had said that, I will not yield, flesh, you will heal. I will not. Not had one symptom since then, ever. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. But this is building up our testimony. And so I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. There's been times that I went to the doctor because I knew that my faith was not there. But there's times that the Holy Spirit told me, you need to stand in faith. I'm with you. You need to stand. You need to stand now. Now, I learned from those times I went to the doctor, and I grow from that. I don't want to wind up going to the doctor. I want to get to the place where I never have to. I want it to always be like it was with this, that those symptoms are gone. I never have to. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. But if the Holy Spirit tells you not to go to the doctor, then don't. You stand. You stand, and you speak to your body, and you make your body yield to you. Because this is the testimony that we are supposed to be developing. Now, there is a scripture in the Gospels that shows us this whole theory that we just saw from Revelation. There's a verse that talks to us about the power of the Word of God combined with your testimony. And we see this in John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is returning to Galilee. And he's returning to Galilee from Jerusalem because he had just been in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. So he's passing through Jerusalem. On his way to go back to Galilee, he has to pass through the area of Samaria. Caleb, we can have that map. So he's got to pass through Samaria. Now, for those of you who are with us in Israel, what we're going to be talking about, do you remember when we were on that bus? I say it was rainy and cold. That was a lot of the days. But do you remember the day that we were on the bus? It was raining and cold, and we drove way up that mountain. We kept going around and around to get to the top of that mountain. That was Mount Gerizim. And we got to that mountain, and after we sat in the bus for a little while, we came out, and all of a sudden the skies cleared. We walked down to the top of that mountain. We looked down, and we saw that entire valley, the Shechem Valley. And that's where Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. So here's Jesus. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He was there for, here's Jerusalem. So he was there for the Passover. He's coming up here to the area of Galilee. To get from Jerusalem to there, he's got to pass right through Samaria. So here Jesus is in Samaria, and he's speaking to the woman at the well. And he reveals to the woman at the well her entire life story. And then he reveals to her that he is the living waters. And her response to that is, she then goes and she tells other Samaritans about Jesus. And she brings other Samaritans to Jesus. And as a result of this, many Samaritans came to believe on Jesus. Now, what caused these Samaritans, who are hostile towards Jews, to believe in Jesus? What caused this? Well, the Bible shows us what caused this. This is John chapter 4, verses 39 through 41. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. They believed because of her testimony, and they believed because of the word of Jesus Christ. Her testimony brought them to Jesus. And it was the power of the word of Jesus that sealed their belief. You have the power of the word of Jesus. Now we need to develop our testimony so we can share, even if it's in the small things. If you share with someone that I didn't take aspirin for a headache and he healed me, people want, in their spiritual DNA, they know it's true. They want someone to give them permission to believe the word of God. They want to hear it from you, and they want to see in your eyes that you have seen it work and you've experienced it yourself. Now, if we read on a little further, it says that Jesus left Samaria after 2 days, and he arrived in Galilee. When he arrived in Galilee, it says, there they received him. What was it that caused the Galileans to be so ready to receive him? We understand why the Samaritans did. Why are the Galileans now so ready to receive Jesus? Well, verse number 45 explains it to us. John chapter 4, verse number 45. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they also had gone to the feast. The Galileans received Jesus because of what they saw Jesus do while he was in Samaria. Now all those Jews had been there too, because just like Jesus, they were in Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. So what is it that these Galileans saw Jesus do in Jerusalem that caused them now to receive him so openly as he arrives in Galilee? the book of John makes it very easy for us to understand exactly what it was that they saw that Jesus did. Because the book of John only highlights one event that took place in Jerusalem. So if we want people to receive the word of Jesus Christ concerning healing in their lives, doesn't it make sense that we find out that we know what those Jews saw Jesus do in Jerusalem that caused them to be open and them to receive? Because I want, when I share the word of Jesus Christ with someone for healing, I want them to be open and receive. What was it that they saw? Well, we read that in John chapter 2. Go back a couple of chapters. Here's what they saw when they were in Jerusalem with Jesus. The only event that John shares with us that took place in Jerusalem. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers of the money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold the doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." What the Jews saw was the authority of Jesus. What they saw on display in Jerusalem was the authority of Jesus, the same authority that he's now given you. They saw Jesus taking total control of the temple area. They saw Jesus operating in his authority. They saw Jesus exerting his authority with force and with instruction on how to properly use the temple. When Jesus was operating in his authority, the religious leaders and even the temple guard did not dare move against Jesus. Many Christians don't know the authority, don't understand the authority that they have in Jesus. You have the authority to speak his word and to see the natural things of this world yield to the greater realities of the spiritual realm. Recognize your authority and use your authority. Stay in John. This is John chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 12 to you. This is how Jesus expects us to use our authority. Jesus speaking, saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead, and he expects you and I to do even greater things. Jesus gave you his authority. So regardless of what your past experiences might be, you have the authority of Jesus Christ. And he expects us to speak his word about healing and all things. But he expects us to speak his word regarding healing in faith. And he expects us to use, to pray and to use, speak in his authority and make the things of this world yield to his word and yield to him. Do you want to see people around you healed? You know, if you will stand and do these things, you'll also see your body walking in healing. The Jews witnessed the authority of Jesus in operation when they were in Jerusalem. And because they saw the authority of Jesus in operation, they received. Now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus' disciples, they saw and they learned something entirely different from that exact same event in Jerusalem. And here's the awesome thing. What they learned when they stood and when they were in Jerusalem, what they learned ties in directly to what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. And we're going to talk about that next week. So you got to come back if you want to hear that next part of it. Here's what we need to know for this week. Jesus has given you the power of his word, and he's given you the authority to enforce it. Operate in the power and authority of Jesus' name. Operate in the authority and power of his name and develop our own testimonies as we serve Jesus by seeing others receive their healing in Jesus' name. This is our lives poured out as a drink offering to Jesus, to his glory. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and praise as we close this morning.